Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right. Welcome back, everybody. Guest today, Michelle Wilton. Michelle, please tell us where you are in the world and what you do for a living.
Yeah. So I am based in Los Angeles, California. Right now I'm in the Sequoias, though, on a little sabbatical. And I own Date Better Snacks, which is freshly ground nut butter inside of a medjool date covered in 85% fair trade organic chocolate.
Incredible. So tell me a little bit about your background and what kind of prompted you to get into this specific space. I guess kind of like CPG type in general, but also like this specific route with the specific product that you made and been successful with.
Right. So I'm a pastry chef background. I went to culinary school in San Francisco and I've worked at fine dining restaurants all over California. I opened my own restaurants and during the pandemic, when I was forced to temporarily shut them down and I had to shut one down completely, I had three at the time, like everyone else was like, oh God, what am I going to do? Right. So it was that pivotal moment. I had been making these dates for friends and family and everybody, like all the founder stories, thought they were so delicious. And so I thought, you know what, I'm just going to give it a go. My restaurants are closed. I could use my kitchen and try these out and just see what the feedback is. So I started taking them around to local stores, dropping them off, and people were like, oh, how do we order these? We want to order them. And I thought, oh gosh, okay, I guess I better get this figured out. It was kind of like building the parachute after you jump from the plane. Because it wasn't like, okay, I'm going to build this brand and this is what it's going to be. And I'm going to have everything in place. And here we go. It was like, let's see if people like this.
Perfect analogy.
Yeah. And so they liked it and they wanted to order them. And so I started producing them and then more and more stores started ordering. And it's been 2 years now.
That's amazing. So you started around like 2022-ish time.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Very cool. Yeah. It's so interesting is how many stories I find of not necessarily coming from a exact background like yours, but you know, starting businesses during COVID, it's kind of like a tale of like two differences. I find that and a lot of owners that come on and CEOs that come on the podcast are, you know, some started around, you know, 2017, 2018 when like the Shopify boom was like really kicking. And then right after that, COVID came and everybody had to pivot into this brand new thing. But even more so, it seems more stores and brand online brands kind of started this way, like right during the pandemic, which is like, it's just so interesting to me. And so also, I know you mentioned you went to culinary school. I don't know if I'm sure in your circles, you probably know of somebody who went to the CIA in upstate New York. I actually grew up about 20 minutes from there. So I have some familiarity with, you know, some of those circles there too. And some of the restaurants I actually worked in growing up. So tell me, so you kind of started friends and family, as you say, it is a very, you know, familiar story to me. And it seems a lot of the successful businesses that I speak to, they do start with that kind of organic foundation to their business. I don't find a lot of people saying, I had this great idea, I got everything set up, and then I started selling, and it's all been happy days. It's like, nah, it doesn't really work that way, you know?
Right.
So I'm just curious, though, like, since your inception, I know it kind of started like in your like more personal circles and maybe like local stores and stuff. What has been your kind of breakdown between, you know, how much revenue are you generating through the actual website, like straight e-commerce direct to people versus, you know, what you're doing in selling wholesale to retail stores?
It's actually very small percentage. Mm-hmm. So I would say 4% comes from my e-com store versus retail. Like I said, I just started the companies, like, let's figure it out. I didn't put a lot of emphasis on my e-com building, and I'm now starting to make that my point of growth right now.
Awesome. And could I just ask, what is your kind of thinking behind, you know, wanting to drive more, you know, revenue through the e-commerce store? Do you get much better margins through like the e-commerce direct to consumer route than you do on the wholesale typically?
Much better margins, yes. Mm-hmm. Almost double.
Right. And
more than double.
Yeah. No, yeah. I believe it.
Yeah.
And then so I was looking at some of the offerings on the site there. What is kind of the most like popular offering that you're selling right now? I see you have some like six box offerings of different flavors and then different SKUs. recipes you have on there, and then the gift box of four. If I had to guess, I would think the gift box of four is probably the most bought thing on the site, just from past experience working with brands. But how do you find is like the majority of your traffic? Which SKU is most popular on the website?
I would say the peanut butter, believe it or not.
Amazing.
Yeah, the gift box we just added in January. Okay. It was an exclusive item for Uncommon Goods over the Christmas holiday. And then the exclusivity ran out. We were able to put it on our site. And we get some order of that, but I would say majority is peanut butter.
That's very cool. And Uncommon Goods, that's one of those like subscription services that send you like random stuff. Is that right?
No, they're actually a marketplace, an online marketplace has really unique gifts. And so they're all like artisan created by the artist or founder, and there's a little founder story on the website explaining about it.
And I was this is actually not something I've really had an opportunity to chat with anybody about, is having like an exclusivity deal with one of their SKUs or offerings. So what was that experience like working with them, and how long was that deal with them? And would you consider doing something like that again, or was that you think something you kind of reserved to the really early stages of your growth?
I would consider it again. I think it provides like an element of scarcity, and it's really kind of cool, like, oh, you can only get it from here, you can only get this amount, it's only going to run for this amount of time. I thought it was a great partnership. They did a lot of marketing on our behalf, put us in a mailer, like a catalog that they mailed out, as well as their website, and did a lot of marketing around it. So it was really a great experience.
That's
and
really
I
cool.
thought it was great because I've always wanted to do a gift box. And so it prompted me to do that.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really cool. I don't think that's a vertical that a lot of people in the like CPG kind of space may not be aware of, or maybe they just don't entertain it for whatever reason. But I mean, it seemed to me from the outside looking in that would be like a really cool vertical to work with. And it sounds like you had a good experience. So we have a lot of entrepreneur, listeners. So anybody in that space might be worth something considering. That's a kind of a difference between, maybe just doing, your Amazon, your direct to consumer e-com, and, your wholesale as the main three verticals. So that's really interesting. So I'm curious too, as you're thinking about how to grow more of like an e-commerce presence, and, obviously, you gotta love those margins, right? So you want to drive as much as you can through that. So what are you kind of planning? Like, what are you thinking about ramping up as far as, your strategy to drive more website traffic and more e-com sales?
So right now we're looking into digital ads. I just feel like nothing beats the digital ad space at the time being. So that's where our focus is going on that.
That's awesome. And what about any other verticals you're currently operating in, like social medias? Or I guess what is your like kind of social media presence look like now? Are you posting on TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn? What does that kind of look like for the brand now?
Yeah, so we post on all three of those. I would say our consumer though is the Instagram follower more so than the TikTok follower. So we put our emphasis more on Instagram than TikTok, but we do have a presence there.
Cool. I found the TikTok, however their algorithm works, it seems to be that the things that get really big but it's very fleeting. I feel like it'll be big for like a very short amount of time. I feel like if you can grow a legit, very organic following on Instagram, it seems to stick more, and it seems to be more longevity on that platform. So I think the fact that you're finding more traction on Instagram is probably a good thing. I mean, some people make a killing on TikTok, but I mean, it's like a mystery to me. I mean, I think about, trying to run ads on TikTok, and it's like their algorithm seems to change like every single day. It's like crazy. So
the whole thing feels all over the place. Like the shop, I know that we've been on the TikTok shop and it's been like, oh, we're shutting down this shop. Oh, we're opening it. Oh, it's like, it's really all over the place.
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely more consistency with the meta stuff. And do you have any perspective on, I actually don't know enough about this. So this is why I like to ask, because I want to learn more about it is, did you have any like friction with this iOS 14 update that affected meta? This is like, I'm not 100% like clear on the challenges that people were facing on that specifically. Did you have any like friction with that at the time, or maybe that might have been before?
It was before. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Right. I think it had something to do with the iOS operating system's like relationship and their own privacy policy to had some friction with what Facebook's privacy policy was and how their apps worked on the iOS platform that caused, I think, some part of the advertising system to become. Just have like a lot of friction between those things where you weren't getting, as much of the data as you used to. I think it was an Apple thing, just trying to like make their platform more secure while kind of like forcing people to kind of give up, some of the data that you would get from running ads through Facebook. I think that was kind of the gist of it. But
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But so when you think about, you know, running your digital ads, what kind of platforms are you thinking about mainly? And have you tested anything yet out there in the world? Or are you just kind of like still like ramping up to do it for the first time?
We're still ramping up. We did tinker in Google Ads. And so we looked into further exploring that option, but also putting just boosting every Instagram ad. So I actually won a mentorship with a really, really big company. And so I meet with them weekly.
Oh, very cool.
Their advice from their marketing department was boost every single ad, even if it's $20, just do it. So we haven't started yet, and I'm looking forward to what that will do for the social media.
That's awesome. Are you able to share how you got that mentorship or who that is?
Yeah, so it's with the Brazzy Bites.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
How did you come across them? I mean, you said you won, so I assume you like entered into something. Can you tell us a little bit more about that story?
I did. I entered into this accelerator program that they are offering, and I won. And so I get to meet with someone on their team every week. And I also won a whole slew of other prizes, like a huge photo shoot with the design team, packaging redesign, legal. Yeah.
That's amazing. So what do you think is like kind of your plan? Like if we were to speak maybe like a year from now, say, you say your, you know, e-com is about 4% more or less now. Like, what are you kind of thinking about the breakdown a year from now? Like, where would you like it to be, you know, as we roll into, you know, maybe 2025 next year?
Right. So right now, larger retail, like your big box retailers, we're only in one and it's smaller. Okay. It's based out of LA Lassen's. So if we're going to talk from a year from now, I would love for our e-com to be about 12%, us to have 30% in large retail presence, and the rest in our stores that we're in now. So we're in 1,300 stores right now, but most of them are smaller, independent.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also hotel mini bars. We're kind of all over the place. Backcountry, which is like REI in the Utah area.
That's awesome. And do you have any relationships? I know you have a strong restaurant background. So, but do you have any relationships with hotels? I guess is kind of fitting in that space, but do you have a big presence in like food service, or is it more kind of like independent stores and like some hotels kind of mixed in and like more of that kind of thing?
More of that. Yeah. I think for us, food service, we are in a few restaurants by the register checkout, but more food service. Our product is more giftable and like, I don't think it would fit.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. And think about ramping up digital advertising. Obviously one of the most important things, I'm sure your advisors with this company will tell you this too, is it's so important to have like an avatar and to understand who your buying audience is. One of the ways you clearly do understand that is your followers and your buyers that come from social media or on Instagram. That's a great thing to niche down and understand. What do you kind of find in the kind of testing that you're able to do with your e-com sales or in any other avenues? I mean, who are you finding is kind of like your demographic or psychographic as a buyer?
30 to 40 year old woman that really cares about her health, a higher income bracket, lives more in like a city.
And you find that predominantly people, you know, you think buy this more as a gift than they do like consuming themselves?
I would say it's 50-50. Actually,
okay. That's interesting. Yeah, that's really interesting. So how are you kind of planning on, obviously if there's like pretty direct avenues to be able to do that with digital ads, you could basically filter people by like those exact things, but as far as like, you know, like a messaging strategy through your socials and through, you know, any digital ads that you're going to run, what is your kind of general like strategy as you're starting to think about it and ramp it up now, you know, to really like get business out of that audience?
Right, so like I said, putting payment behind each ad. Also, I started an affiliate marketing program.
Oh, great.
And just creating missions for those affiliates.
Mm-hmm.
So like this month, these are the mission. Anybody that wants to join this mission, things that I wasn't really privy to before I started this business. I had no idea that there were missions for affiliates that you can create a whole thing. So just really tapping into all the different ways to build awareness and the call to action is, I think that's our focus for this next year.
That's amazing. And I'll ask this too, because it's one of the biggest, like, I would say areas of variability when it comes to CEOs of brands like yours is, you know, how they kind of go about executing tasks on the marketing front, whether it's digital ads or with their socials and things. So at this point, I assume, you know, you're kind of doing it yourself, right? What is your kind of thinking in, are you thinking about like bringing on a hire as like an employee? Are you thinking about doing kind of like fractional contract work to do some of these tasks? Are you thinking about agencies? Like where's your kind of mind frame at with kind of the division of, you know, your time spent versus, you know, what you're going to outsource on the marketing side of things?
Right, definitely. So I'm looking into an agency right now for the digital marketing, just because for me, because I'm a chef background, my expertise is sales, production, manufacturing. Mm-hmm. So I know that just to learn the digital ads, people have spent plenty of time learning that so that I don't have to.
Yeah. And there's also, you know, there's certifications out there that you need to have to really advertise well on a lot of those platforms. And they do not make it easy to get, I think probably on purpose. So it doesn't get like even more saturated than it already is. Yeah, I think that's a good perspective. And, you know, obviously as a CEO, you know, you want to make sure that you're interacting with your audience and continuing to develop product and kind of do more big picture things so that you don't get lost in like going on to like an obsession campaign with marketing or with like, you know, it could be anything, right? But marketing right. particularly, I find is something that can take up every ounce of your time if you let it. So I think that's a good perspective there. So a couple things I always love to ask everybody that comes on the pod. First thing being, you know, if you could go back 2023, I don't know, it hasn't been that long, but you know, certainly this is amazing analogy you say, building a parachute after you jump out of the plane. I love that. So as you're skydiving, what have you, you know, everything you've learned in your plummet to earth and trying to do this, what would you say is your, would be your one big piece of advice if you go back and tell yourself something back in 2023 when you started the brand?
Not to worry so much. I had this feeling of it's like a race and I had to get to the end. And then you start taking in when you're on LinkedIn and looking at everybody's accounts and how far along they are, and you try to compare yourself and you can get really stressed out and you can feel like you're failing in every aspect of your life. When at the end of the day, I've come to realize that it's not a sprint, right? It's going to happen when it happens. And I am working at such a great pace. The product is being loved by so many people. I continually get reassurance that I'm on the right path. And so just reassuring myself that it's okay. You don't have to beat yourself up or feel that you're not doing enough because you're working very hard. You're giving it all. And like the it's coming back to you.
Yeah, I think that's really good advice for anybody listening, because really all you do see out there and like the people who have the money to advertise themselves, who's like such a broad audience, are the ones that have already had enough success where they can pay the money to get in front of your face on the screen, right?
Right.
So, you know, those are kind of the only stories you hear, especially on social media. I mean, you go on TikTok, it's like, I made $1 million selling envelopes in 3 months to like whatever. So it's like, that's crazy. Like, you know, that didn't really happen overnight, but that's what sells on social media. And, you know, I get it. And it is entertaining to watch as a consumer of, you know, TikToks and reels on Instagram. But as an entrepreneur, I think it's an important perspective to keep, is that no matter what you see out there, you know, people have gone through exactly what you're going through. And I can tell you from my experience doing 30 podcasts in the past 2 weeks that everybody's experience is the same. And, you know, I've done pods with people from $200,000 business up to almost a $30 million business in their first 3 years. And the stories and the perspectives are always the same. It's like, it was like feelings of inadequacy, the kind of imposter syndrome, things like that. So I think that's an answer to that question that I get quite frequently. So you're not alone. And anybody listening, if you're feeling this way, also believe me, you're definitely not alone, and just keep going.
And I think looking for those like reminders that you're on the right path, because you can get blindsided. Yeah. But when you just start seeing the things that are coming into the business, and just it's a reminder that you're on the right path.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then I just want to give you an opportunity quickly as well, before we hop off here. You know, let people know if they want to keep in touch with you, want to keep in touch with, you know, the socials for the brand, or, you know, maybe just like, you know, find you for the first time and check it out. Let people know the website, you know, any social handles they should know about, and how to keep in touch with you guys.
Yeah. So datebettersnacks.com is our website, and you can reach out to me on LinkedIn or through our socials on Instagram, Date Better Snacks, as well as TikTok.
Amazing. Well, Michelle, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate it. And wish you the best of luck. I think you'll find plenty of success. It sounds like you have some great things set up. So I wish the best for you.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you, Michelle. Thanks, everybody.